It is in my heart in these days, in these six services, to preach on some thoughts that God gave me some time ago for this church. I have preached these thoughts in other places, only to get the bugs out of them before I got here. But I felt like when God gave me these thoughts, they were for this church. And I want to preach on the subject of being rightly related to the Redeemer. Rightly related to the Redeemer. I don't know if you realize or not, we're living in a day and age where most of us think that just claiming I'm saved illustrates our relationship with Christ. I'm here to tell you today, if all you are is saved, you ain't much. You ain't much. Because it took him seven different pictures to try to illustrate the relationship that he wanted you and I to have with him. So it must have not been easily explained. He must have not just said, well, they're saved. Oh, no. There were seven different pictures in the Bible. And I was always fascinated. They're always the picture of a superior coming down to an inferior. We were always the inferior. He's always the superior. You'll never find us on His level. We can't get to His level. He's got to come down to our level. We can't even make any movement towards His level. He's always got to come to our level. And I thought it was fascinating in all seven of these pictures, it is always a relationship of Him with us. Now that fascinates me that He'd ever even want to be with the likes of us. Huh? That just blows my mind. But I was fascinated with that little word, with. The superior wanting to be with inferiors. That little word, with itself, takes on seven different pictures in the Bible. Seven different pictures, the little word with. He wants to have seven different relationships with you this morning. He says, I want to go before you, one of the relationships. He says, I want to come beside you. He says, I want to get behind you. He says, I want to get under you. He says, I want to get over you. He says, I want to get in you. And He says, I want you to get in me. Why, a Republican and a Democrat couldn't bother you if you had all those seven relationships going on, could you? Huh? I'm talking about a superior with an inferior. Now, with that thought in mind, I'd like to look at one of those relationships this morning. What are we going to do these days now? I want you, I want me, to examine ourselves, not the person beside us, not the preacher, not the church, just me. I want to examine myself and make sure I'm rightly related with the Redeemer. It's bigger. It may be this morning you're here and say, well, I'm saved. It may be here that you're here this morning and you're just lost, really and truly. And you just never have had anything. I want us to see, if you've got your Bible this morning, in Jeremiah chapter number 18. I want to look this morning, first of all, at the first picture that he shares with us is a potter and his relationship with clay. Potter and his relationship with clay. You already see the superiority of the potter. And I didn't know if you noticed or not your inferiority. Dirt. Hello. And you might be cute dirt, but you still dirt. What do I need? Hon, you need a potter bad.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Clay ain't going nowhere. Dirt ain't going to do nothing unless somebody comes along and does something with the dirt. There's not any big economy today for dirt. You listening to me? especially the kind of dirt he uses. Reading four verses in chapter 18, four verses in chapter number 19, the Bible says the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise, go down to the potter's house. There I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house. Behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. The vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Chapter 19, verse 1. Thus saith the Lord God, "Go and get a potter's earthen bottle. Take of the ancient of the people and the ancient of the priest. Go forth unto the valley of the son of Hinnom, which is by the entrance of the east gate, and proclaim there the words that I shall tell thee. Say, hear ye the word of the Lord, O kings of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Thus saith the Lord of the hosts, the God of Israel, behold, I will bring evil upon this place, the which whosoever heareth his ears shall tingle." How come? "Because they have forsaken me and have estranged this place." Potter and his relationship with clay. I notice if you've got your Bible there this morning as we unpack these two texts, I notice first of all we're confronted with the word from this potter. The word from this potter. I notice in chapter 18 in verses 1 and 2, they are words of guidance. Words of guidance. He says, "The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying," God speaks. The Bible says in verse number 2, he says, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." God speaks. Does everybody hear? God forbid. There's some of you this morning can't hear. How come? He says, "I will cause you to hear." That little word "cause" is an interesting word. The little word means to make to happen. To make to happen. How in this world can you hear from God? You've got to have ears. Preacher, I've got ears. Don't mean you can hear God. You reckon all that crowd Jesus preached to, there had been a nuclear problem and the water had been messed up? What? Nuclear explosion in Bible days and the water was messed up. Because he kept, every time he preached to anybody, he said, "If you've got ears, let him hear." Was all of that crowd earless? Deformed people, no ears on the side of their head. No, 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 no. He was talking about ears down here. I remember clearly, like it was yesterday, the day God gave me my ears. I'm not asking you this morning if you've ever been down the Romans Road, German Road, French Road. I'm never asking you if you've joined a Baptist church or been baptized. If you got any historical recollection of God ever giving you any ears to hear Him. You say, "Preacher, I do not have any recollections of God ever giving me any ears to hear Him." Would you make yourself a note? I'm going to hell when this is over with. Ears to hear. I love what old B.B. Caldwell said years ago. He said, "Every person that truly hears the gospel will get saved." What? He said, "Every person that truly hears the gospel will get saved." How come? Because God will have to give you ears to hear it. Preacher, you talking about ears up here? God forbid. I'm talking about ears down here. You say, do you hear God up here? No! But I hear Him so loud down here, I think I'm hearing Him up here. Huh? Does God talk to you? If He doesn't, you just clay and you have no potter. And that's just as simple as I can make it. I preached this not long ago, and the preacher that I handed the mic back to, he made this statement. He said, that's the truth whether you believe it or understand it. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about words of guidance. Oh, how this clay needs a potter that talks to clay. Are you listening to me? Words of guidance. But I notice in the text there's words of governing. Words of governing. He says in verse number 5, then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, God is speaking to Jeremiah. God is speaking to him and he's hearing him. Does God talk to you? If he doesn't, you have no potter. You just clay. Need of a potter. He said to him in verse 6, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hands, so are ye in my hands, O house of Israel. He says, this potter, if he's speaking to you, if you're in his hand, he says he can do with you as he will. Do whatever he wants to. I was wondering this morning if you had bought into Sweet Hour Prayer. What? Bought into Sweet Hour Prayer. You know that song, Sweet Hour Prayer? Make all your wants and wishes known. He ain't never been interested in what you wishing for or what you wanting. He is interested in you lifting up a blank slate to Him and say, Lord, I'd like to know what you want. I'd like to know what your wishes are. Are you listening to me this morning? If you're in His hands. He's your potter. He's talking to you. You're constantly wanting to know what He wants, what His wishes are. Huh? How come? You want words of governing. You know that where He leads will be good. You done led too many different roads and it turned out to be a mess. Tired of my wants and wishes being known. Lord, I want your wants and wishes being known. I'm telling you, there is a word of governing. But I notice in chapter number 19, there's words of guilt. He says in verse number 1, thus saith the Lord. God speaking again. Talking. I was wondering, he ain't doing anything crazy like talking to somebody here this morning. Huh? Man, he done said something to me already. What did he say to you? He said he ain't talking to me. Whoa. Huh? Did you sense while I was preaching that God did one of these numbers on you? You're in trouble if He is. He spoke to him. He said, go down and get one of those potter's earthen vessels. He says in verse number 3, he says, I'm fixing to bring evil upon this place. He said, it's going to cause your ears to tingle. I was interested in that little phrase, ears to tingle. He said, I'm fixing to do something that's going to embarrass you. He said, I'm going to cause your ears to get red. That little word, tingle, it is the little word, stagger. He said, I'm fixing to do something to this place. I wonder if God's fixing to do something to this place. And he says, I'm going to cause you to... Big old USA, man, y'all been so tough. He said, when I get done with you, He said, your ears gonna be red. He said, you're gonna be staggering around. Do you realize this morning if Russia come down out of the north and started bombing the Jews in Israel, we couldn't do flip about it. We could suck our thumb and send them our condolences. How come? Oh, we scattered everywhere. How come he would do that? Notice why he said he did it here in chapter number 19. Verse number 4, because they have forsaken me. That little word forsaken there is an interesting word. It means to become self-centered. Self-centered. The little word means to distance ourselves from. You become self-centered. Distance yourself from God. He said, it's no problem. He said, when I get done with you, your ears will be tingling. You'll be like a drunk man. But I was interested in this. He says, and have estranged this place. This place. He's talking about the potter's house. The house of God. He said, you have estranged this place. I was studying that little word, strange. It literally means to fail to acknowledge this place as important. I was extremely interested in this Strong's Concordance definition. It means to scrutinize this place more than your place. Oh, yeah. You put some examination on this place and this man that you would never put on yourself.
Listen to the man of God.
Are you listening to me this morning? You would put, he ain't said nothing to me. He ain't never said nothing to me about you. Are you listening to me this morning? You would put this place and this program under a microscope that you would never put yourself under. He said, because of that, when I get done with you, he said, you're going to be staggering like a drunk man. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about the word from the potter. But go further with me in the text. I notice back in chapter number 18, not only do we see a word from the potter, but we see the wheels of the potter. The wheels of the potter. I notice in verse number 3 that they are wheels of purpose. Wheels of purpose. He says, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. You say, what is the big deal about a wheel? An Eastern potter had two stones going round and round. He had a foot pedal. And he would pump that foot pedal and those wheels would go around. That's where he would fashion his clay. Wheels in the Bible. The potter's wheels. Oh, very interesting. But before he wrought a work on the wheels, the old potter would have a pit out back where he got his clay. It was called a slime pit. He would go out there in that slime pit. He'd reach down in that gunk and he'd get him a handful of that slime. Man, don't think God has much lifting you and I up, just a handful of slime, and put us on the wheel. Brother Gillum, have you got any historical evidence from the Bible that we were a bunch of slime when God... I wouldn't have brought it up if I couldn't prove it. Do you have any recollection of this verse coming from the greatest king that Israel ever had? He said in Psalms 40, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit and out of the miry clay. It's an interesting little verse, isn't it? The little word brought means to cause to break out. Or come forth. Hey, that slime ain't going to get out of there by itself. Somebody's got to reach in and pull it loose from that suction of the earth that it's got on it. Place it on the wheel. That little word, horrible pit, the little phrase means a rushing destruction of a cistern or hole in the ground. He reached into a rushing cistern. It was rushing towards hell. It was a great suction of the earth. And he had to reach in there. Pull you loose from the earth. You never come out of there by yourself. Oh, no. He said he brought you up out of a horrible pit, even out of the miry clay. That little word miry clay is the dregs of sticky mud and slime. That's where he found you and I. You can be proud of that if you want to. I ain't. Huh? Brought me up also out of a horrible pit. I was thinking Jeremiah now. He's the potter. Tells that potter story. He says in Jeremiah chapter 31 and 29 too, that with loving kindness he drew us to himself. I was interested in that little word, loving kindness. It has several movements to it. One is to stoop down. The other one is to reach in. The other one is to lift out. The other one is to pull it to yourself. He went down to the slime hole. Reached in. Hey, ain't none of your religious buddies going to reach in there and help you. Hey, ain't no need of your dope head buddies going to reach in there and help you. Ain't none of your beer drinking buddies going to help you there. Reached in. Lifted you out. Pulled you to himself. Oh, what a God. Huh? I'm talking about the wheels of purpose. But I see in verse number 3, the wheels of providence. He said he wrought a work on wheels. How come he did it on wheels? Circular. You ever given any thought to circles? Awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. You can't tell where it starts or where it ends. It just keeps on going. Isn't it amazing that God would have us to seal our marriage with a circle? How come? He wants you to come to a place where it don't have no beginning and it don't have no end. Hello? Well, bless God, I can go down the courthouse and end it. Sure you can. But you're not in that circle. Are you listening to me this morning? He says the work that he does is an endless work. It is a work of providence. The overriding work of providence is God reaching his unseen hand into our life to tell his story. Not my history, but his story. He tells that on a wheel. I'm glad today I've got a God of providence. He's a working. You know, that's amazing how this potter can do foot, eye, and hand coordination all at the same time. You know, it's extremely hard for you to do. Have your foot going, your hands going, and your eyes going all at the same time. Working a work of purpose and providence. I was extremely interested in this. Not only do we see the wheels of purpose, the wheels of providence, but we see the wheels of position. He went there and got that slime out of the pit. He didn't put it up in the corner of the wheel. Didn't put it down at the bottom of the wheel. No. Right in the center of the wheel. How come he put it in the center? That's the only wheel he got. I know somebody's told you he's got a perfect wheel and a permissive wheel. Just small one problem. Ain't nowhere in the Bible. You got no permissive wheel. Because you know always when we got Some of you believe in a perfect will and permissive will. Don't you notice how you do it? It's always perfect when something good's going, and it's always permissive when something bad's happening. You listening to me? God ain't got but plan A. He ain't got no plan B. He ain't never had plan B. He's got one will. He sets you in the middle of it. You know, I was dealing with this subject not long ago. Gail come up afterwards just weeping. And she said, you know, she said, I've had doubts about my salvation for years. She said, I've always thought I was saved. But she said, God, give me assurance today. I said, how in the world did this message give you assurance? She said, I know that I used to be in that slime pit. And she said, I now know that I'm on that wheel. And she said, there's no way I could have made the move on my own. Huh? See, there's some of you sitting here today, you think you made the move on your own. And you're going to doubt it until you die. Hey, in this world, you ever seen slime get out of a pit and get on a wheel? Come on, just as I am, I have decided to follow Jesus. Come on out of there, slimy. Come on, slimy. You slimy ain't coming out of that pit. Right. Less than a pot, I go down there, reach in that pit. I was wondering this morning, have you got any historical recollection of a hand ever reaching down there where you were at? Pulling you out of that pit, setting you on the center of that wheel, and then you remember years ago they had the Mousketeer Club. They send you out your little certificate. You wasn't a full fledged member till you got your ears. You got your ears. They say you was a Mousketeer. There's some of you claim to be a Christian, but you ain't got no ears, huh? I had a friend up in Virginia not long ago. We were talking about a distant relative, and he was talking to me. He said, there ain't no ears on the side of that head. What's he talking about? He said, there's no evidence that God's ever spoke to that man. You listening to me this morning? While some of you been asleep here in this building ever since I come. Sleeping on. You know, one day you'll wake up, and you'll have the whole charge of this church. Be here by yourself. You listening to me today? Huh? I'm talking about the wheels of the potter. But I noticed this little thought. This has been a blessing to me. Not only do I see the words of the potter, the wheels of the potter, but I notice in chapter 18 and verse number 3, I see the work of the potter. The work of the potter. I notice it is a faithful work. Faithful work. I was confronted in verse number 3. Where does the potter work the best? It's awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. At his house. He says in verse number 3, then I went down to the potter's house. Where's that at? Hello. We're in the potter's house this morning. If you're really rightly related with the potter, you'll want to be there during pottery hours. Got pottery hours tonight. We're having a little extended pottery hours because of the season is good for pottery work. We're going to have pottery Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, and even your preacher, he extends it and does Thursday night. He loves you so much. He wants you to have extra pottery work done. Pottery house, the where of the potter. But how about the how? He says here in verse number 3, he wrought a work on the wheels. I was extremely interested in that little word, wrought. The little word means to appoint or to cause to come to an expected conclusion. To cause or make to come to an expected conclusion. Wrought. The little word work, it is an ongoing workmanship. Matter of fact, Paul said, we are His workmanship. The little word workmanship, we are His poem. We are His poem. We are His song. We are His portrait, is that little word workmanship. Well, how do I find out what He has completed for me? Just one second. I won't spend much time of it. Just a page or two over to your right. Jeremiah chapter number 29. Oh, this is so good. I hate to even show it to you. How does He determine this faithful work? Verse number 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. He said, long before I went down the pit, pulled you out, He said, I had already conceived in my mind what I was going to make with you. And He said, all the way back to the house, He said, I was thinking about what I was going to do with you. And He said, I set you down in the middle of the wheel. I got my foot pedal going. I got my hands going. I got my eyes going. He said, I am going to conceive in you what I conceived in my mind that you were going to be. I love the hang on out of that, don't you? Huh? I'm talking about a faithful work. But I see in our text, not only is there a faithful work, there's a fashioning work. He says in verse number 4, He says that this clay is in the hand of the potter. See that right in the middle of verse number 4? In the hand of the potter. Again in verse number 6, He mentions, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as the potter saith the Lord? Behold, is the clay in the potter's hands. He's fashioning us. He's got us in His hands. He is giving the exact pressure. He's got that foot contact, got that eye contact, and He's giving that exact pressure. He's spraying water on that clay, working with it. Water in the Bible is a type of the Word of God. That's what we're doing over here at the pottery here, spraying water on the clay and working with it. Time out. Hold on. What determines how long the wheel's going to go around? What determines how much pressure He's going to put? It's my understanding from potters, they're looking for submissiveness out of the clay. They're looking for the clay to cooperate with the hands, cooperate with what He's making. Oh, I was wondering if you're struggling on the wheel this morning. I don't like what He's doing in my life. It's no problem. Ain't going to stop Him though. It's fashioning a work. You suck your thumb all you want to. I say, you ain't nobody got as bad as me. Do all you want to. He's going to keep fashioning. I love that, don't you? Oh, I'm talking about a fashioning work. But I see in verse number 4, there's a failed work. He says, and the vessel that He made of clay was marred, hand of the potter. So He made it again. That little word marred there, it has the idea of coming uncooperative with the hands of the potter. Recently, a friend of mine went to a potter in Pigeon Forge. He noticed right beside the wheel where he was working was a big old bucket of water. It was full of little globs in the water. My friend said he asked him, what was that in the bucket? He said, that's non-compliant clay. He said, you're going to throw it away? Friend said his head snapped. Absolutely not. He said, what are you doing it in that water for? He says, I'm waiting for it to get compliant. What are we doing here? We're hoping that some of you will become compliant. How come your preacher would have these extended services? How come he would spend his whole week getting three messages together, hours upon hours upon hours? He's hoping to see some of you. He's got a lot of you on the wheel, but there's a lot of you still in the bucket. And maybe haven't made the move from the slime pit yet. Waiting for you to become compliant so God can work on you. I don't know about you. I don't even mind being in the bucket. I ain't got to be on the wheel. If I can just be in the bucket, I know I'm at the potter's house. Huh? Oh, sometimes I don't become compliant. I want to give Him all the glory. I want to be clay in the potter's hand. On Him to work upon me. Do with me what He wills. It is all about the potter. Could I close with this little thought? I know it's after 12. Preacher's got a clock up here now. And I know, since he's got this clock up here, y'all always get out before 12 now. And I'm going to go over this morning. Please forgive me. One last point, though, and I'm done. The worth of the potter. The worth to the potter. There is a position of worth. He says in verse number 6 that you're in my hand. In my hand. You say, what is the big deal about being in His hand? Did you ever hear this slogan? You're in good hands with what? You bought in, didn't you? You're in good hands with the what? Almighty. In His hands. He says, I've put you in Christ's hand. He said, Christ's hand's in the Father's hand. Amen. Oh, to be in His hand this morning is a great position of worth. Oh, I want to be clay in the potter's hands. This is awful deep. I don't know if you can get it or not. But if you've ever been placed, you can't be plugged. It's awful deep. I'm going to run it by you one more time. Some of you are looking at me like a deer caught in headlights. If you've ever been placed, you can't be plucked. I know some of you probably think you can lose your salvation. I'll tell you why you think you lose your salvation. You ain't ever been placed. He ain't going out to no slime pit, pulling up a bunch of junk out of the slime pit and putting it on the wheel. And later, he said, do y'all know what I did with that clay? I had done lost it. I don't know where in the world it is at. Oh, no. If you've ever been placed, you can't be plucked. Huh? It is a position of worth. I love that, don't you? But I notice there is the pleasure of worth. He says in our text, in verse number 6, cannot I do with you what I want? I do with you whatever I want to. If I want to give you cancer, don't be telling me what you're going to do and what you're not going to do. If I want to bring you down where you're over here in the nut house in Morganton this afternoon, sitting there, blah, 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 blah. Can't tell me what to do. How come? He says in Romans chapter number 9, I was going to turn there, but for sake of time, I'll just quote it. He says, hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show His wrath, to make His power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted for destruction? He says, I'm very patient with those that have a hail design upon them, fitted for destruction. Tell me what to do with clay. He said, if I want to send you all to hell, none of you can say anything to me. How come? It's the potter. It's the potter. I'm talking about the promise of worth. And I close with this little thought. Not only do we see the porter, the position, the pleasure, the pronouncement of His worth. He says, in chapter number 18 says it over and over again. Verse number 7, at what instance I shall speak, speaking to the clay. Verse number 9, at what instance I shall speak. He's talking. He uses in verse number 8, in whom I have pronounced. All three of those words are the same word. It means to speak in an arranged order. I wonder if God's speaking to America today in an arranged order. I was coming down the road and I saw an Obama sign out there. I'm not condemning you. I'm not telling you what to vote. Vote whatever you want to. It's your prerogative. This old boy here ain't pulling no lever to kill more babies.
That's all right.
This old boy right here ain't pulling no lever let homosexuals out of the closet.
Amen, brother. Yes, sir.
You can vote for somebody to take care of you. He can't take care of me. How come? Somebody beat him to it. I don't want the government to take. I don't even want the government to take care of me in my 60s and 70s. I'll take Social Security. I paid it in, but I don't have to take it. Oh no, God doesn't beat them to it. He's been taking care of me a long time, huh? I don't need the government to take care of me. Oh no, you vote whatever you want to. I don't care. Pull a lever. But don't cry to me when you feel your ears tingling in you. Go to staggering. And I'm not saying the other one's any better. There's a little morality there. Just a little bit. Huh? There's a little bit of book there. Just a little bit. Enough for me to see the difference. Are you listening to me this morning? I'm talking about the pronouncement of worth. Let us be clay today. Sensitive to the voice and the touch of the potter. Friend of mine, preacher, recently spent the day with a potter. After they had fashioned clay, they went to a large brick kennel, the back. My friend said he noticed there was multiple vessels in the brick kennel. He said, I asked the potter, I said, you don't do them one at a time? He said, oh no. He said, it's too expensive to stoke that fire. He said, we've always done multiple vessels in the fire. My friend said he felt the Holy Ghost whisper to him, and you thought you were the only one in the fire.
Yeah. Yeah.
Y'all pray me. I really go to tell nobody ever been through it like this. Look around in the fire, honey. It's full of folks like you. Huh? I love the hound out of that, don't you? My friend said that the potter had a little flap on the side of the brick kettle. He could lift it up, look in there. He saw him lift it up and look in there. He said, what does that mean? The potter said nothing. Absolutely nothing. He said, well, why are you looking in there? He said, I'm just concerned about them. He said, my major concern is if one of them cracks, he said, I'm going to shut her down quick. Get that cracked one out of there. He said, if you don't, it'll mess up the rest of them. Are you listening to me this morning? Oh, I'm talking about Potter, his relationship with clay. The old preacher wrote so epically in days gone by, I'm just clay in the potter's hands. Lifted up from the miry sands. May he form me to his demands. I'm just clay in the potter's hands. I was wondering this morning, where are you at in your relationship with the potter? Several relationships you can have with him. Before I just list them quickly and we're going to close. You'll see in all seven of these pictures a very interesting thing about the superior and his relationship with the inferior. In all seven of these relationships, the superior always became the inferior. that he might bring the inferior to himself. Our potter became clay inside of Mary's virgin womb. How come? So that he could go down to the slime pit, get him some clay for himself, make him some vessels that could live with the potter forever. Oh, can you imagine the God of the universe becoming dirt for the likes of you and I? I don't know what you think, but if I was the God of the universe, I don't see nothing in you and I that would cause me to leave where I was living to come here and live with the likes of this crowd. Huh? Are you listening to me? I was wondering, in this relationship, are you still in the pit? Do you have any historical recollection of anybody ever getting you out of that pit? If you don't, pray the sinner's prayer. Pray the sinner's prayer will get you out of that pit. I just don't know if I'm in that pit or not. Hey! Somebody ever get you out of that pit? You know it, honey. Huh? Oh, Grace, you remember that. You may not remember the time, the day, the night. It's hard to remember all that stuff when you're a slime ball. But you'll know that one day you was a slime ball, now you're a vessel. Huh? Is there a sense of that hand reaching in there? Are you on the wheel this morning? If you are you cooperating with His hands? Are you in the bucket? Non-compliant. Wouldn't it be wonderful this morning if some of you would come this morning, get in this altar and ask God, Lord, I believe I'm ready to get out of the bucket. I've wrestled with you and resisted you long enough. Everything you've done to me, I've just balked it and everything. Lord, I'd like to get out of the bucket. I believe I'm ready now. I want to get on that wheel and let you make your wants and wishes known. Huh? You never can tell. Some of you might get active again down at the pottery. Hello? You listening to me this morning? I'm talking about the potter, his relationship with the clay. Would you stand with us this morning? I wonder if our dear Chad and sister would come this morning. Let me impose upon them to sing old song, page number 375. Have thine own way. Have thine own way. Thou art the potter. I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. What did I tell you when we started this morning? All seven of these relationship pictures. We'll examine ourselves. I don't want to find out where my wife is in her relationship with Potter. No. Where am I at? My relationship with Potter. You say, preacher, I've looked at myself this morning. Does Potter talk to you? I don't know if I got ears or not. Is Potter molding you and shaping you? Are you in the bucket? Just struggling around? He couldn't do anything with you. You balked everything you did. So he said, well, I'll just put him back in the bucket. I'll tenderize him. Would you like to get out of the bucket this morning? Huh? Wouldn't it be wonderful if somebody said, hey, I'm in the bucket and I want out! I want out of the bucket. I want to get back on the wheel. I want to feel His touch. Some of you have felt the touch of God in days gone by, and it's been so long you forgot how it feels. I want to get out of the bucket this morning. I want to get back on the wheel. I want to feel His touch. I want to see that foot pedal. I want to see them eyes looking at me. I want to get out of the bucket this morning. I don't know what the need is. This altar's open. Don't stand there this morning and make me believe everybody in this building is related to the potter. Oh, no. I'm not going to believe that. There's problems here with the potter. Maybe you've been scrutinizing this place more than your place. Won't you come and put up your scrutinizer? Are you listening to me? While we sing, this altar's open. You come. It's all up to you now.